Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry, well, for 35 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us over the years, you know that I always preach about portraits of God. I see portraits of God throughout the scriptures, but I'm very excited because He's put on my heart a brand new series that I'm calling Clearly Stated Portraits of Christ. You see, there are places where He clearly stated a title or a metaphor or what I call portraits of Himself. We're going to look at those in this. Well, it's going to start off as an 8-part series, but wouldn't be surprised if we go longer. But as I have been sharing with you for years now, I do see portraits, and I come up with the names that the Lord puts on my heart at that time. But these are going to be the portraits that He specifically states. So I'm really excited about this. And today, if you're a note taker, it's going to be this particular portrait. Now, He is our bread of life. He is our bread of life. He said it very specifically in John chapter 6, verse 35, where He said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." So that's the theme verse for this, but I got to tell you, there are tons of scripture. And John 6 here, we're going to go over this. We're going to camp there, but I'll refer to some other portraits of scripture and other ways that the bread of life is mentioned in the scriptures in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Really excited about unpacking this for you. And hey, as you're making your way over to John chapter 6, just a quick reminder that all of these radio broadcasts that are 27 minutes long are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. Oh boy, that's the way to soul care. He really takes care of our souls through speaking to us so regularly and giving us portraits of Himself. So yeah, markpg.org is where you can go and just press on the box that says broadcasts, and then on the next page, press on the box that says portraits of God, and then you'll see a listing of all of these 27-minute radio broadcasts and messages as we continue our journey and just seeing the portraits of God throughout the scripture. So as we get started, as is our custom, and again, that website is markpg.org, but hey, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I absolutely love coming into Your presence. I love coming to sit at Your feet and gaze in Your eyes. And then sometimes it's with my brothers and sisters who are listening in on the airways or online. And Lord, we get to sit and just hear Your heart. So Lord, just touch us where we need to be touched, deep within our souls. And today, as we're looking at how You are our bread of life, oh, I pray I will be able to adequately just unpack that and give us a glimpse of the depths that we can go to in You as our bread of life. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, well, as we look at this portrait of the Lord, of how He is our bread of life, let's go ahead and go right to the scriptures in John chapter 6. I'm going to cover verses 35 through 63, but obviously not all of them. I'm going to highlight some sections that really bring out some fascinating things about the depth of this truth and this metaphor that Jesus chose to use. Now, let me set the context for you here in John 6. Earlier, He had just done the feeding of the 5,000, which was an extraordinary or miraculous thing, obviously. And then the scripture tells us that His his disciples got on a boat and then crossed, you know, the Sea of Galilee to go back to Capernaum. And then Jesus had the walking on the water thing there. And then they both end up in Capernaum. But the other people had discovered he was missing those that he had fed and actually made the journey themselves on their own little boats or walked. And so they were waiting for him when he got there. And Jesus was going, well, hello, you know, and how these guys, you know, these people were there, not so much because he was the bread of life as far as an eternal topic or reality was concerned, but because they had been fed some bread and all. And so this comes up in the discussion with the disciples and then also with the people there. And that's the context of this. And in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And by the way, that's foreshadowing for our next clearly stated pointed portrait of God next time, which will be how he is our living water. But let's get back to the bread. He was trying to show them that what he did in feeding them physically is just a foreshadowed taste of a reality that they could experience when they see that he is the bread of life. And a metaphor of how much he has to offer them in the kingdom of God within their hearts for an eternity. Wow. Well, he amplifies that beginning in verse 46, if you want to skip on down in your device or in your Bible, where it says this. Jesus said that not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. So that's a reference to himself. He has seen the Father. And then in verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. By the way, we're going to talk about that manna because that was a foreshadowing of this particular metaphor and reality. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Now verse 50, but this is the bread which comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, and I can just imagine him just pointing to himself, you know, putting his hands on his chest, me, I'm the one. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also, which I will give for the life of the world, is my flesh. And that was a foreshadowing of how he would go to the cross and die. Physically die on our behalf. Now, verse 52. Well, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? I mean, you can imagine what they might have been thinking there. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. And again, this is a clear reference to the marvelous ordinance of the Lord's Supper to commemorate the incredible work he did on the cross on our behalf. Now we go on. Verse 54, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And yet there's another cross reference there to what he said in John chapter 15 about abiding me, and you will bear much fruit, and the vine metaphor there. So we're seeing so many cross references here, so many metaphors being dropped in for them to try to grasp that there's something far greater than you guys are thinking than just being given some bread and a fish to eat a few hours ago, guys. All right? Now, verse 60. Now, the Jews were the ones who had been arguing with him, and Jesus was giving them all kinds of glimpses of eternal truths. And then in verse 60, the disciples who had been listening in, here's what it says in verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? All right, let me just stop here a minute. I'm with them. I know you are too. I mean, if I'm there, I've been traveling with Jesus. I've been walking with Jesus. I've been saying things. My mind can't keep up. So I don't blame them. I don't disparage them in any way. If I'm there, I feel the same way. Hey, isn't it true in our lives sometimes we just, Lord, we can't keep up. You're doing so many things in so many layers. I don't understand. You know what? That's how the Lord draws us to himself, to just trust him, right? Verse 61 now. But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" There's another foreshadowed picture. This is going to be the ascension. It's going to happen after he dies on the cross and rises on the third day and walks among them for about 40 days in a resurrection body, and then he's going to ascend. So he's giving them some pictures, a little foreshadowing. He loves doing that. In verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. There's another one. There's a Spirit that's going to be coming, right? The flesh profits nothing. Guys, don't keep thinking about just the feeding of the 5,000. It's deeper than that. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Okay. Wow. I mean, John 6 is just full of so many foreshadowed pictures of the things that are to come, so many metaphors of the things that even have come to give them a clue, like the manna in the wilderness, for example. I'm going to give you a couple more in a few minutes, but I just want to just kind of take a deep breath here and let's pause and think about the eternal dynamics that Jesus is beginning to unfold for them. And he starts with that simple metaphor, "I am the bread of life." He's picking up kind of where he left off by providing physical bread in a miraculous way. You like that? You really enjoyed that? Are you amazed? You stunned? By the way, he'd also walked on water after that, so the disciples had just seen that and saw him still the sea. I mean, so much was being revealed to them that they couldn't keep up. They were in a whirlwind of the mind, and of course they had a gazillion questions and couldn't grasp it all at once. And I just love how the Lord is so patient with us. He does give us these glimpses, these bites, these nuggets, these pictures, these portraits, these foreshadowing things, because we need the processing time. And so he gives us this fresh one, fresh bread, as it were, of a metaphor on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. It says, you know what, though? I am the bread of life. If you eat me, you're never going to hunger again. Eat that bread I just gave you, you're going to hunger again. But if you eat of me, your soul will never go hungry again. If you believe that, if you will consume that, if you will eat this bread by trusting me and following me, which is beyond your comprehension in the flesh, but in the spirit, it is comprehensible. You can respond. You can learn to go all in, to dive in, to eat up, to eat this flesh and drink this blood. And I believe he knows that he's going to come to them as it goes down the road, but he's beginning to draw them in closer and closer. Others, though, will get further and further away, like the Jews who are just thinking, this guy is just bizarre. Eat of the flesh, eat his blood. What is this? This kind of cannibalism is this guy talking about? And we get that. Some hearts are open to receive the deeper things of the Lord. Others are not. So as we look at the bread of life, one of the things I really love is how the scripture gives us so many peeks at this. So the text itself referred to how their fathers had eaten manna in the wilderness. Jesus reminded them of that in verse 49. And it just so happens that as I'm going through my Bible in the year readings, a particular plan I have is chronological. So Job was thrust in there about halfway through Genesis. So at this point, we're getting to in the annual readings to the Exodus part. And I just recently, in the last day or two, was reading about how the Lord provided manna in the wilderness. It was one of the first pictures of how the Lord would be our daily bread, our bread of life. Manna from above, food from above. And I love when you, in fact, let's just go back there for a few moments. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 16. And it talks about in chapter 16 how Israel began to grumble in the wilderness. Verse 1, the entire Israelite community departed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt. And the entire community, the entire Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Instead, you brought us into this wilderness to make this whole assembly die of hunger. And then the Lord said to Moses in verse 4, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. The people are to go and gather out each day and gather enough for that day. And this way I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, he goes on to say, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather than on other days. And that's because the Lord is making way for Sabbath rest on the seventh day. Now, I'm just going to stop there. This passage, I mean, I could preach on this chapter for a few weeks, but let me just say it's a familiar one to most of us about this manna in the wilderness. And of course, the big takeaways are this bread is from above, just like Jesus is from above and given to us from above. So was the manna in the wilderness. But it had to be gathered daily and only enough for that day. There's no hoarding. You go on to read in the passage that they tried to gather a bunch because they didn't want to get up 2 days early in a row. It would spoil and have worms in it by the next morning, except on that sixth day when miraculously the Lord would let that last longer and there would be no bread coming down on that Sunday, that Sabbath day. So we get a nice foreshadowed picture of the provision of the Lord Jesus as our bread of life. And our quiet times, our prayer times, our personal times in the morning with Him, or when we go and we gather Him as our bread to ingest. We need to be fed daily, right? And we can't hoard up. I'll just do a big quiet time on Monday and it'll get me through Friday, you know? Well, it doesn't really work that way. The Lord wants to spend that time with you. He wants you to feed on Him, my friends. And the manna in the wilderness was one wonderful picture in the Old Testament of what was to come in Christ Jesus. The table of showbread, which was in the tabernacle in the wilderness, which several chapters from now, the scripture will start unfolding that and all the things that the Lord instructed them to put in the tabernacle in the wilderness and the holy place, and then on the way to the Holy of Holies. And one of them was the table of showbread, or the bread of presence in the holy place to feed on, to feed them. I love that. And of course, a picture of the Lord's Supper as He switches the metaphor in verse 53, where Jesus said, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And of course, man, we know about how He instituted at the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. And He took bread and He broke it. And He said, as you eat of this, do this in remembrance of Me. And with a cup, He took it also. And when you drink of the cup, you're drinking His blood metaphorically. Because He wants us to always remember that He willingly, sacrificially, voluntarily allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be spilled so that we might have eternal life. We might become one with him. And his blood can cover our sin, atone for our sin. But you have to dive in. You have to eat up in this metaphor. The bread of life was sent. The bread of life was obedient. The bread of life was sacrificed on the cross that we can abide in him to bear much fruit. And another way that the scripture kind of gives us a glimpse of this bread of life metaphor is in Hebrews when it talks about the word of God. How there's the milk of the word for the young in the Lord, the infants in the Lord, but then mature people need the solid food or the meat of the word. So there you have the whole idea of eating of the word of God. And in one sense, it's the written scriptures, but the Bible warns us over in John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." So to be clear, the scripture is incredibly important. It's invaluable. It is it's the infallible, inerrant word of God. Everything we know about God and his ways are in the scriptures. So yes, we're to devour the scriptures. We're to drink the milk of the word as young and new believers, but then go for solid meat, which is for the mature to go deeper, because the scripture is profitable for doctrine and correction and reproof and training in righteousness. But don't stop with the scriptures. They point to the Lord Jesus. Hence, my heart to always look for the portraits of God throughout all the scriptures. And in this series, we're looking at the clearly stated ones. And I just love this one. I love them all. But the bread of life is such a great starting place. It's such a basic. We need food regularly to be healthy. We need to eat of the bread of life. We need to gather it daily. We need to gather it in small groups. We need to gather it in worship services, because in every one of those cases, personal Bible study and prayer and quiet time, small groups, family devotions, corporate worship, the Lord, this is a whole other sermon actually, instituted many ways for us to feed on him through the scriptures, through prayer, through quiet time, through small group time, through family time, through corporate worship time, through walking with him day in and day and out, having daily conversation with him, listening for the whispers of God. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Why? Because we need to feast on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone. And that's why he was tying it to one of the most basic needs in life. Bread. Bread. Manna in the wilderness. The table of showbread, or the bread of presence. The Lord's Supper, the Word of God, pointing us up, the Spirit testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh to dwell among us and sacrifice his flesh on the cross. And the Lord just yearns for us to come into his presence, my friend. He loves to, make us lie down in green pastures and lead us beside quiet or still waters. And he restores our soul. Because the reality is, our souls, our mind, will, and emotions get beat up in this fallen world of ours. It is a brutal world. You will have tribulation. There are brutal things that are happening around the world. You will be betrayed. You will be hurt. You will be disappointed. You will be struggling. But that doesn't mean he's not there. In fact, it means that he is there and we can hide in him. He is our hiding place. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He's our very bread of life. Lord, we're struggling. We're hungering down here because there's so much going on. I don't understand. I'm not sure what to do next. I am struggling. I am just weary. I am broken. I am wounded. He says, yes, you are. It is a hard world. You will have tribulation. But take heart. I've overcome it all. Come hide in me. Come eat of me. I am your daily bread. And to kind of wrap this up, when the Lord was teaching his disciples how to pray, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he gave them what is often called the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it's called the Model's Prayer. The model prayer, sometimes it's called the disciples' prayer. He starts off with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, my friends, I hope you're going out to pick up the manna. I hope you're feasting on the Lord when you wake up. I hope you just absolutely get lost in the wonder that is our God through his word, through prayer, through personal time with him. Eat of the fresh bread of life every morning, my friend, and evening, and with your friends, and with your church family. Wow. Well, Lord, we thank you for this. Thank you for being our bread of life. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our bread of life.